maybe it's important. You speak of relationships. And to highlight here that the name of the Lord that is used is the name of relationship. Where is for, when we went, we began in Exodus chapter 2 and chapter 3, where the name of Jehovah, I am, and the name of the relationship God, and which is the name of Jehovah, which is when we see it in our Bibles in all capitals, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the name of Jehovah, which is the relationship God who seeks a relationship with his people, is the very one, the very name he's using through these verses here as the one who is seeking to reestablish that relationship that had fallen down because of sin.
I want to realize in my own heart, this was a costly thing for this man. Don't look over these verses lightly. Look at what is said. It says, they said unto, in verse 29, I'll read 28. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, the grove was cut down that was by it, the second bullock was offered, that was built, and they said one to another, who has done this thing? And they inquired, and they asked, and they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die. Bring out thy son. I see, first of all, how the enemy had wrought among the people of God. How that the enemy had so come in that those that professed to know the living God would turn upon the man that had been directed by God in service to him, and their first thoughts about him was that he would be put to death. He would be put to death. Bring out thy son that he may die. Because he has cast down the altar of Baal, because he has cut down the grove that was by it. But I want to show you the positive side then. Because there's a wonderful side here. That when I've gone in the Lord's bidding, when I've gone to do at his direction what he wants, the Lord is going to bless others by that. And so what happens to his father? Joash said unto all them that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? I thought he was a god. We've been worshiping him. We've set up our devotions to him. We've given our allegiance to him. What kind of a god is this that cannot even plead for himself? So there's the positive and the negative. The negative side is the cost to the servant of God to go at the Lord's bidding, to do what the Lord wants, to be his vessel, to be his servant, and to go out where he shows. The other side is to see that when it is done in obedience to him, under his subjection, under his will, that he brings honey out of the beast, doesn't he? Out of the lion. He brings his blessing. And here is a young man that sees, am I going to use it in the language of Christianity, that his father is testified to and saved by the grace of God in the words that we have. I'll read them again. He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar.
Just a brief thought again regarding Gideon. We've read of much that he did in secret that man didn't see. And yet, still yet he had that setback for the Lord. But now when it comes to this public act, I'm reminded of what was said of the disciples, that they took knowledge, the Pharisees took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And so here's this public act, and there's not a lot of inquiry as to who did this. They knew already that Gideon had done this thing. So again, a life lived in secret before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, others will take note. Here it was that they sought harm, but we find immediately that Joash stands up for his son.
I think it's also good to note in verse 27, the 10 men that Gideon took with him, that when you're doing the work of the Lord, you'll never truly be alone. You won't be the only one there, that you'll always have a community of people that will be doing the work with you.
Amen.
You know, I want to bring back again the thought that you've mentioned it before. You know, really, Lord, what I want to do is I want to be a Billy Graham. You really need me. You need me, and I want to be in this place. And the Lord says, wait a minute. Let's go back to the beginning. And so I see Stephen. And I come to Acts chapter 6. And I see there's a need. There's a need because there's murmuring and there's complaining. And there are tables that need to be served. And we know these men are chosen. And a man full of the Holy Spirit is chosen. And I find that the Lord takes that young man. I don't know what his age was, but he picks him up there and he takes him a little further, doesn't he? And he uses Stephen in the proclaiming of the gospel. And then I come to the great testimony of Acts chapter 7. You know, Israel had rejected the prophets. They had rejected the Lord Jesus himself here upon the earth. They had rejected that message. And Stephen then brings a message where he looks into the heavens and he sees, I see Jesus standing. Who is the servant that used to give that message? The young man that began waiting on tables. And then we realize that we have a course. I don't know what the course of your life will be. Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Tomorrow, I'm going to be offered. I'm going to be poured out as a drink offering. Are we willing to be just a servant, to just help the local brethren in the meeting? To do things that somebody else would look at and say, that's not really very important. And we say, wait a minute. I'm not serving men. I'm serving my Lord. That's who I'm serving.
Now, I appreciate the thought of the 10 men. 10 yes. In scripture, does anyone have an idea of what the number 10 represents in the Word of God? How many fingers do we have? Excuse me.
Responsibility.
And there were, it's wonderful to know, young people, that where there is a Gideon who God moves forward because he's been faithful in his private life before God, that he doesn't have the Elijah syndrome. Just me, Lord. There's no one else that's faithful. But that you can find others that can come alongside you when there are matters that need to be addressed. I often like to tell young people that, you know, sometimes as adults, we don't know what's going on in your circles. You know. And you may have a sense when some things are not right. And it's nice to be able to stand and to have those who will stand with you in agreement according to the Word of God to respond to something that may be dishonoring to the Lord or to help one of your fellow peers that you see is drifting, that you get together and you pray with that individual and that you help them. Now, the verse that Brother Chuck set before us with the altar, with Baal pleading for himself, I think of it in this way, that the enemy is a defeated foe. And this idol was a hindrance for the people of God. Right? What is an idol? It's something that comes between God and us. We know we can apply this in many ways. But these idols are dead. Baal could never plead for himself. It's just wood. Right? Set up. The people bowing down before. We know who's behind the idol. And Satan is a defeated foe. And we want to challenge ourselves to look in our lives and see what needs those idols that need to be cast down. The Apostle John says in chapter 5 and verse 21 of 1 John, little children, keep yourselves from idols.